402, Dave, I think, is what my watch says. All right, so we'll do roll call. I will start, since Jay is not here. Kelsey Potter, PAB.
Galena Burley, Parks and Lands Manager, Clark County.
Nicole D'Artosa, Facilities Planning Manager, Vancouver Public Schools.
John Spencer, PAB.
Dalian Radu, Parks Foundation.
Dave Weston, PAB.
Larahoga Parks.
Alex Ferrani, Parks.
Jay, say your name.
Jay Chester, Parks Advisory Board.
Perfect. All right. So we have a few technical difficulties we're trying to work through. So for the public, we should have... Do we have handouts back there?
We should.
We should have handouts of everything, most of everything that would be on the screen. So feel free to grab a packet, whether we get the screen working or not. Let's see. Review. We need to... Oh, we should say welcome to Nicole more formally. Welcome. We're glad to have a school representative again. Jennifer came to a lot of our meetings and gave us so much information, and we hope we gave her information that was mutually beneficial to both groups. So thanks for being here.
Definitely. Thank you.
Let's see. We need to review February's meeting minutes. So if you want to look over them real quickly, it looks just like we accepted January's meeting minutes.
That was a big move, I think.
Didn't we do another one?
Yeah, what, didn't we do something around the Heritage Farm? Didn't we?
We were going to write a letter.
You wrote a letter, but I don't know, did you do a motion?
Was there a motion?
We didn't make a motion.
No.
Okay. Yeah, because all you record here are motions, correct?
Right.
Correct, yeah.
All right, move to approve.
I'll second.
It's been seconded. All in favor?
All right.
Anyone opposed? All right. Reminder to submit your volunteer hours. Guess what? I did it.
Woo-hoo! So did I. Finally did it online even.
I decided to do 2 months at one time. I did January and February because I just feel like, you know, I just keep it in my Google calendar and then I just go in and whoosh. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that was my handy tip. So reminder to submit those. It helps with matching grants. Okay, public comment. So we have two people signed up. Just a reminder, we have this clock. We are working on figuring out how to use it. So we like to keep comments to 3 minutes. So we have public comment in the beginning, and then if you are listening for a topic that you're interested in, we also offer public comment at the end, so another 3-minute opportunity to speak. So it looks like we have Jim first. Come on up.
That is the hot seat.
Yeah. That is the hot seat, yeah.
It is.
We should still put a whoopee cushion on it.
Oh, that's so rude.
All right, prepared statement to try to keep it to 3 minutes.
Thank you. All right. I'm setting my alarm. Okay.
All right. So my name is Jim Bittner. I'm a longtime Philida resident. Quick history, Foley Neighborhood Park was part of the 10-acre Foley property purchased by Clark County in 2006. It's located on Northwest 21st Avenue, just north of Northwest 119th Avenue and 21st Street. It's open and available for recreational use. It's been developed with minimal improvements to date. There's a small gravel parking area along the street frontage and a fence around the perimeter of the park. The park includes open space, wooded grove, and an orchard of pear and other fruit trees. Now, I've been walking. I'm on my second generation of labs, walking my dogs at the park just about every day since 2010. On the afternoon of December 10th, 2019, 4 no parking signs were installed by county staff, eliminating the only 2 public parking spaces at this neighborhood park. I contacted park staff by email that very day. I've been in regular contact since, as email communications will verify. I'm about 22 in a thread. A 2013 draft NEPA assessment produced by PBS Engineering on behalf of the county references the parking spaces at Foley Park on 4 different pages. They're not de facto, they're not ad hoc, they're designated parking spaces. I've been given several different reasons for the elimination of these parking spaces, such as mud being tracked onto the road, poor parking, cars blocking the gate, but no real solutions. There are no sidewalks on either side of the street. Park visitors continue to park in these parking spaces to this day. The neighbor across the street has put out parking cones to prevent parking on their property. I have proposed a simple realignment of the existing fence along the street frontage to accommodate two vehicles, something County Engineer Ijaz Khan suggested in January. I will leave you with photos, diagrams, and email excerpts for your consideration and to forward to the folks that it needs to be forwarded to.
Yeah, great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
It's actually...
Who gets stuck?
I'll take it. Over. Yeah. Okay.
I am curious. I'm out of the neighborhood, so I'm going to see where.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, of course.
Where we're talking about.
Thank you. I'm like, it's
which
nice.
Park is it?
Foley Park?
Unimproved.
And do we have Jim's contact information to get back to him?
Just
his name.
Yeah.
There's emails in there.
Here's emails.
You've got your email.
Yeah, it's on here. Okay. Yeah. All right, thanks, Jim. Okay, Angela.
Hello.
And I sent you the plat map. And can you do a control plus plus on that? And we're going to zoom in on the right where it says tract G.
I'm very sorry. One of our members is calling in, so I'm going to put her on the speaker. Barb, can you put a mute on your side?
So can you go scroll to the right?
Awesome.
Tract G. Yeah, there. Good job. Okay, so we're trying to focus on where it says tract G.
Upper right.
Yeah.
Okay. So where are we? We're 121st and 102nd.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Angela Schaefer. I'm from the Fountain Village Estates Homeowners Association. I'm the president. And with me is Sheila Davies. She's our HOA secretary. And we have a gift for you. We would like to gift this tract G to the county. We think it would be a great asset to the community, and we think that the natural fit for this is to give it to the county. And let me tell you a little bit about why we think so. First of all, on the right side or the east side of tract G, we abut to the current county park, Dogwood Park. We share a 250-foot fence line with that existing park. And you see at the bottom, there's a sidewalk that goes through our property into the back of the park. That entrance is actually the preferred entrance to the park because Dogwood Park is accessed by the public on 124th Street. There's no parking there and no real entrance there. So what you see here is actually the preferred entrance to the existing county park. This property is bordered by 121st Avenue on the west and 102nd Street on the south. There's ample parking along those two streets in that area and sidewalks on that side of the street in an L around that area. There's trees along the streets, so it's already planted, and the lot has irrigation. We think it would be an awesome asset and addition to Dogwood Park. It's 0.9 acres, and we think it would make a great athletic field. It's a relatively flat, open area, so a great athletic field for the kids in the area to complement the play structures that are in Dogwood Park. This area serves four immediately adjacent communities. On the left there, you see the large apartment complex. That's Fountain Village Apartments. To the south is our neighborhood, Fountain Village Estates. To the right of Track G down there at the south, there's another neighborhood there on 102nd that also would share use of that park. And then there's another neighborhood immediately north of the existing Dogwood Park, which would also gain from the benefit benefit from the use of this tract G if we could grant it to the county.
Okay. This is the development directly south of the current Saddle Club. Is that?
Yes. In fact, that 121st Avenue dead ends into the Saddle Club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. So are there any questions that I can answer for you? Otherwise, our purpose in being here is really to learn about what would the process be to gain consideration for our gift. So what would the process be, and what would be the timeline that we should expect? What do we need to do for you if we want to proceed with this?
We would have to talk to our acquisitions manager, who's not here today. I'd like to get your information and get you in touch with him. Mm-hmm. The process could be quite involved and lengthy, to be, you know, full disclosure. But he could walk you more specifically through the different steps. Would the city, would the county be interested in that acquisition first? If so, what resources would be needed?
Frontage,
what legal authorities? Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's all built.
Yeah,
it is.
Is there something you'd like done with it? You said mm-hmm. sports field would be your.
We would like it to remain open as a public use area for the public. We as a community enjoy it. Other people around us can enjoy it. We would like it to remain an open use area as opposed to being built up for another purpose.
It's already kind of impromptu mm-hmm. field, right?
It is.
It is.
I've seen people playing out there. Stuff,
yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And the fence runs parallel to the property?
The fence, if you look at the picture there, it actually runs along the right side of that tract G.
Oh, okay.
So we have Google right.
Yeah, and it's right, it separates tract G from Dogwood Park. And Dogwood Park has like some play structures and a walking track.
A neighborhood park.
In it, yeah.
Do you have maps online, or do you want me to do Google?
If you could, yeah, it's very much a lot easier to see.
Is the sidewalk that's shown down here in?
Yes, it is. It is. And that really is the means by which pedestrians access the park, because, like I said, the east border of Dogwood Park is actually 124th Street, and there's no sidewalk along there, and there's mm-hmm. no parking along there.
Mm-hmm. The only other, I like the idea, first of all, but the only other thing, I believe there's stormwater facility on the north end, is that?
Yes, if you scroll to the top a little bit, there's another tract called Tract
okay.
I.
Oh, that's
there is a fence, okay. So there's a fence separating Tract G and Tract I. Tract I is a completely fenced-in water runoff area, also owned by the county. So you border us already on two sides. Mm-hmm. We'd love it if you adopted us.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about the maintenance cost of small parks, but in a way, I mean, it's just an addition to your maintenance that's already there. So. Riding lawn.
Who owns the property that they would be willing to just give to the county?
It belongs to our HOA.
Oh, it does. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So help me navigate, where in the county are you?
99.
So we're just off of 117th and 117th and 99th Street.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. See the red line going up?
Yep.
That's zoom in just a little south of where you're at there. It's going to be that, is that the green park right there, Dogwood up? North.
I bet you that.
It's almost perfectly square.
North. Mm-hmm. Right there is probably that Dogwood. One. So it's going to be just to the west of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, that is.
Dogwood. Yeah, maybe it's not square. Yes, Barb, go ahead.
Right there.
I know that our HOA was interested in donating along Whipple Creek to the county.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we ran into was that within our covenants, it stated that we could not sell off or get rid of any of the common grounds without changing our CC&R. I just want to verify that you have done your due diligence on the legal ramifications of the donation.
I would double check with our property management company. They have an attorney on staff, but they have advised us that this is a possibility for us. I'm not sure what the CC&Rs say. I don't think they prohibit us doing it. I think
you're cutting it out, so I can't quite understand you.
I don't believe that our CC&Rs prevent us from donating the land. I think they... I have inquired about rezoning it, and that is very difficult because it requires us to, I think, re-register our plat plans. But I think that donating the land is within our possibility.
I just wanted to throw that out because we were quite a ways down the road thinking we were going to make the donation when we found out we couldn't.
We can just stop.
That was all. Thank you.
Thanks, Barb. They're saying they will check with their attorney, property management attorney. Mm-hmm. Can you, how does it sound right now? And I don't want to hijack the meeting for this, but mm-hmm. then we could talk more.
Like it's zoned mixed use.
Yeah. I'd be curious.
Or no,
it's zoned as an open space belonging to our plat. Now, what's interesting is you see Dogwood Park. The neighborhood immediately south of that, those houses, are not part of our community, but they abut to Dogwood Park and our property. Hmm. To the west is the apartment complex, so they would conceivably benefit from that as well. And then our neighborhood is actually south of 102nd.
Saddle Club's getting redeveloped.
Yeah.
And there's a mixed-use site just to the north of that as well. A lot of people coming in.
Yeah, Saddle Club's moving. Okay. Well, at least they were. I don't know if they still are. But
for follow-up,
new
Jeremy, I cannot remember his name. Tell me his
Grant.
Name. Grant, thank you. Sorry, Grant will be new Jeremy. I'm the worst. Don't tell him I said that. I've only met him one time. We'll follow up, and with Angela, we'll get their contact information and try to get
started.
Okay,
so what are the next steps that I should leave here with today? Should I leave with Jeremy's phone number and
you
call him?
You have my card. That would be the easiest way. If you could reach out to me, we could start the conversation.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To confirm, who's following up with Jim on his issue?
I'll take the information. I think Doug is already emailing with you, our maintenance manager. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do want to read this, though, so I'm going to write his contact info for you on a separate. Or I'll take a picture of it and text
sounds
it
good.
To you.
Yeah, okay. Whatever works.
Great.
I have your email address as well, right?
Excellent, yes. Great. And you have the emailed copy of our plat map if you want to look at it further.
I'll forward it on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for the opportunity to talk.
Yeah, no, thank you. We appreciate it.
I'm very happy to come in wanting to donate land.
I know. All right. Moving on to unfinished business, the PAB retreat update. So we have, I think it's in here. Megan said it was going to be in here. The results of our survey, not in here.
Oh.
What?
It wasn't included because people listening to you have the survey.
No,
I meant just the date.
The date. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The date.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the dates, looking at the graph, and the best date was for everyone, almost everyone to attend, was May 4th from 12 to 5. So, is that still okay for people around this table / on the phone right now? And Nicole, to bring you up to speed on that, we have some things we need to update in our bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not worth your time coming to.
Because she was she explained.
Okay,
did you say May 4th? That's what I have on my calendar.
May 4th from 12 to 5, yes.
Is anybody going to make the joke on that?
Why?
What's May 4th?
May the 4th be with you.
Should we wear a Star Wars outfit?
Could
we?
I'll have Princess Leia hair. Yeah.
Me too.
All right.
If I have enough.
So costumes are optional.
Appropriate.
And I'm going to pull up. So we submitted the questions that we want to have in our survey to kind of have a framework to start the discussions to legal, and we're still waiting for them to review it. But I do just kind of want to throw some of the questions, read the questions to you all, and let me know yes, no, add to this, and then have legal review it. So we're not going back three times, that we kind of have like these are the list of our questions for better or for worse. So bear with me while I get into Google Drive, sorry. Okay. And we're planning to have a copy of these for everyone to look at, but because they got hung up still at legal, that's why they're not in front of you today. Okay, so I've kind of broken it down into a couple, three sections. So I have elected positions / board members. So first question, should the bylaw language be changed to reflect co-chairs if the code allows? Because we're not really sure which copy of our bylaws is correct. Is that okay with everyone? Okay.
Yes.
Should there be term limits for elected positions is a question. Good. Okay. Should we give ourselves more flexibility in regards to adding ex officio members from other organizations, not solely school districts and Park Foundation, if legally possible?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I believe the code lets us.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's our bylaws that are bad on that.
Okay. Do you want to update the language regarding our election process in terms of the way we can vote, i.e. electronically and the month? Mm-hmm. That's another question. Okay. Next one, attendance issues / participation. Is our new-ish time, day, location working for you? I think that's not very controversial. Do you think our current attendance policy is working for the group? Just shout if none of these are working or you want me to change them. Do we want to allow participation in our monthly meetings by telephone? Yes or no? Why or why not? Follow-up question, if yes, would you like a limit per member per year? Good on that? Okay. If you approve of telecommuting, do you have any suggestions on how we can improve the process? Would you like a policy that sets an amount of missed meetings per year as a mechanism for asking a member to resign? Follow-up question, if so, how many meetings do you feel is fair for a board member to miss annually? And then we'd have the numbers listed. Do you want to have a quorum physically present in the room to take an action via vote? So that would mean, like, if we had two people here and two people calling in, we couldn't vote.
Might be important with COVID.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting, but at that point, would we even have a physical gathering? I mean, that's a whole separate thing. I'm trying. John, I went like 20 minutes without thinking about the coronavirus.
Sorry about
Thank
that.
You for bringing me back to it. And then two open-ended questions. What do you want to see updated in the bylaws, which is a comment box, and what do you want to see changed in general board operations? Anything to add, delete, change the language on, what, before legal reviews?
Just one clarification there, Kelsey.
Uh-huh.
There's been a lot of comments about which version of the bylaws
uh-huh.
are valid. If you go out onto the grid
uh-huh.
and you put in the year, and I would have to go back and look to see what year we passed it. The copy of the bylaws there on the grid should be the official one that was reviewed and voted on at that meeting.
It was the 2017 version.
Excuse me?
It was the 2017, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
And is
yeah.
that the...
I'm just saying there's only one official copy of the bylaws.
And
those are the ones that we voted
is
on.
Is that one older?
And they're out there.
Okay.
And that was what I sent out to you.
So the second copy that's floating out there is older than that copy?
There's a codified, so there's a code, and that's part of the question we're asking legal too. Do we have to codify changes that you make in your bylaws? Because I believe last time the group was told you did not need to codify the changes, even though they were quite significant. Like
so the 2017 ones, yes. although the most
that's
recent,
what we were told.
May not be legally up to snuff.
They're not the same version as what's in the code.
I don't know why, but I know Bill said he didn't know why, but as long as legal was telling us that didn't require a revision, why would we ask for grief and insist on it?
Okay, so that's the second issue. So legal needs
that's
to review.
That's where you'll find the yes. legitimate ones. They're the ones that were voted on. They're stored right out there on the grid.
Okay, but they may not, but legal might say they're not legally up to snuff, those ones. Potentially.
But then
that's what we're looking into.
Well, they might come
well.
Back and say what's in the code, even though what's in the code is older than what you've approved in 2017. The question we're asking legal, do we have to codify what's in your most recent bylaws?
Okay.
And that's, I think, what Barb is saying. Back then, Barb, they told you did
no.
not have to change the code, correct?
Right. That
yes.
is correct.
Yeah,
that is correct.
I'm trying to think. I think it was even on the recording. I don't recall... You know, specifics on which question, but it seems to me, I think she was in the room at
it's
the
just
time.
An attorney, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
An attorney's hand, and the other side of the coin is we may have some conflicts between the code and the bylaws, and that's the
yeah.
reason for the retreat.
Doesn't stop us from making it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying that we really did do our due diligence. I don't know. I think it was John that was... co-chair with me then, wasn't
John's
it?
Probably.
And I can't see who's here today.
He's taking all the blame, he said.
I take all blame and will flagellate
you
myself
know,
with
it. You know, I just, well, if you remember better than this old mind.
My mind is no good.
But how about to the retreat we bring what's in the code, the 2017 bylaws that you approved, and the 2017 attendance policy that this group approved? How does that sound? Those three documents?
And that's where we need to make sure they all match.
And what is legal? What is legal? That's all I care about going forward is what are we revising? And I mean, whether Amanda was sitting in the room when we did that in 2017 or actively participating in it.
Right.
Are two different things.
So the other.
Re-listen to the minutes there.
I know, Barbara.
But I can't quite remember. I believe she was.
It really doesn't matter.
But I can't.
We're going to update them. We'll have a new test.
I'm just sitting here thinking she rarely responded immediately. She usually said, "I'll look into that and get back to you." So I can't recall Kelsey specifically.
So we'll get this resolved at the retreat.
The additional
moving forward, you know, we just need to create what we want to have now and make sure it complies with all of the legalities.
So one more thing I'd like to run by legal to discuss at the retreat is I don't want two documents out.
No.
I don't want an attendance policy that's separate from a bylaw.
No.
There's no reason for it.
No.
So it'd be nice and to make sure that we don't have any... The bylaws have a tennis policy in it, at least the one version I looked at.
The one version does, but I don't know if that's legally... I don't know.
Yeah. So that's one of the questions. It'd be nice to have it all in one document.
I agree, yeah. That's sort of my goal, is everything is streamlined into one thing. The lawyer who will be with us at the retreat has reviewed it and says, yes, this is all permissible, and we're all on the same page.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else on that? Okay, moving on. So survey for bylaws. Oh, I kind of skipped to C, so I'll go back to B, which is letter support for Heritage Farm. So John emailed Jay and myself after the work session on, I'd have to look back on my calendar that I went to, late February.
Heritage Farm
letter.
And how it seemed a little bit time sensitive because they were voting to approve the master plan today before our meeting where we could all get together. And we had all nodded vigorously around the table that we wanted to support Heritage Farm in some way and their board and their foundation in some way. So we didn't want to break public meeting laws by including everyone on the email to write this letter. So John pretty much wrote a letter. Jay and I tweaked it. It's pretty much, I'll email it to everyone. I was hoping we'd have a copy of that, too.
I'm so sorry. We had an illness
of the last
few minutes.
It's okay. I know. I just feel like I'm doing all these secret things. No, I was like, can we have a copy of this in the packet? So anyways, I'll email it to the group. It pretty much talked about, you know, the Parks Advisory Board supports Heritage Farm. We think the Farm Foundation and their advisory board are perfectly good stewards of that property, and we want to act in whatever supportive role we can to them, but recognizing that the decrease on the general fund is putting pressure on that property and those organizations. Then we kind of threw in there, because the council seems very interested in developing a business plan, our support for that. I think the most important bullet point probably is, because it seemed like everyone at this table does not want to sell off Heritage Farm. We said we firmly agree that selling or leasing any of the land for commercial or housing purposes should not occur, and commercial interests or public-private partnerships should align with the values and purpose of the property as an agricultural, open space, and or park facility. So we sent that off just because we wanted the county council to have that before they voted today, and they apparently voted unanimously today to accept the master plan. So
the letter did all the trick.
Well, it was a 4-1 vote on, like, a pre-vote. Because I was like, how are you guys voting? This is a work session. And then their assistant pointed out, you can't vote. This isn't a public hearing. But they, like pre-voted and it was 4-1 and then apparently it was 5-0 today. So maybe your letter did change everything, John. Way to go. So, yeah, good job, guys.
Just a caveat to that, council did approve the master plan with planning commission's recommendations of having a business plan and a marketing plan done this year. So Pat Lee will be very busy.
Yeah. Okay, so anyways, good news, hopefully, for Heritage Farm. And again, I mean, Jay and I have been
chat with you on that real quick.
Discussing how we, this isn't really our...
Bailiwick.
Yes, like, again, we want to be supportive, but we don't want our board to take over that project when they have two, a nonprofit and a board mm-hmm. themselves. Again, us acting in a supportive role, because as you can see by our attendance last month, when we had that on our agenda, like that can pack our house and take over some other parks matters that we do have to work on. So supporting and in those crisis moments, stepping up, but leaving it to those other entities to really get down.
Council did ask that we take a stronger management role in the property. That's, you know, jokes aside, Pat will be very busy. And consider a break-even cost recovery point, which is approximately $600,000 a year. So we have lots of work ahead of us. Oh. We'll try not to bug you with details.
No, I think we definitely want to be updated. I just don't, we're not the experts here. I feel like their board is, and I just don't want to step on their toes at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, how we can be supportive. But just on an aside, that seems impossible. So yeah, let us know how we can help. But one other thing about that, they got to figure out if they want it to be a farm or a park too.
Yeah.
Like what's it, that's steering a lot of this is because we don't expect parks to generate income. And so if you're expecting it to be a park, it can't be revenue generating. Just, okay.
I'm 100% on board with you.
Yeah,
all.
Like, what's the vision here? Yeah. Is it a park or...
Nalata was there with me.
It's just so frustrating.
And Galena did an excellent job in her first impression.
I was a woman of very few words today. I've learned my lesson.
All right. Eric, I'm going to proudly introduce you, since we canceled on you last month, to talk about how much self-generating revenue the parks did make this year. Millions, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to fill my water bottle while you're getting set up.
Oh.
Yeah, you
want to
drive?
Feel the drive.
Excuse me. Okay, great. Just mess with you and push on your arrows.
We'll let them come back.
Yeah.
We'll let them.
Short. No offense, man.
None taken.
I told you, put more pictures in your presentation. It was really great that they have all of them, you know, 5-0. That's quite a success.
That is, actually.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge move.
Lots and lots of people that were mm-hmm. saying, don't turn that into a commercial thing or sell it or anything else. So.
Yeah. All right. Jay's on a business call, so.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Christensen. I'm a program coordinator in Parks and Lands Division. Returning to you for a review of the 2019 season for our parking fee and picnic shelter reservation programs. Just an overview for you on the programs in general, or a refresher if you will. We have 29 picnic shelters in 11 parks. Five of those parks are regional, six are community parks. How to make a reservation? You can go online anytime. You can call here at the Public Works Operations Center or walk into the Public Works Operations Center to make a reservation. And we only accept reservations for events that are held between May 1 and September 30. Events that are held between October 1st and April 30th are first come, first served. And I put the, for you, I've just put the picnic shelter locations on a map. The regional parks are here in green, these green stars. We have 21 shelters in these five locations. And then the community parks, which we started reservation, we added to the reservations inventory. These are all highlighted here in these yellow stars. We added those shelters to the reservations inventory in 2017. So we added 8 shelters, and we bumped our total from 21 to 29. Over the last 3 years, we've reserved almost 4,000 shelters between 2017, 2018, and 2019. 70% of those rentals have been in these general fund locations. 30% of the rentals are in the MPD parks.
Sorry, say that again.
30%
are in what parks?
The Metropolitan Parks District.
Sorry.
Klein Lines in Salmon Creek is actually one of those. Just to be clear, it is an MPD park.
And folks know, right, that it's a taxing district. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cover the whole county. It's about maybe more than half of our parks are located mm-hmm. in MPD. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't supposed to have the regional parks in them.
Oh, I can go to town on that.
John and I can go on and on about that. Anyways.
Apologies.
Uh-huh.
So, of the general fund parks, 70% of those picnic shelter reservations are at Louisville, which is really no surprise. There are 13 shelters there. So, that's really not surprising. That's 47% revenue increase since 2016 in our rentals, and then as far as community park shelters go, we're doing about 24,000 a year in rentals in those locations, and then the vast majority of our shelter reservations are made online by customers. So when we came over in 2013 from the VCPRD, we didn't have a reservation software. We purchased reservation software, got it up and running, and now we're up to a point where it's really serving its purpose.
And VCPRD was Parks District, Vancouver, Clark County mm-hmm. together.
Vancouver, Clark, Parks and Recreation.
I'm surprised there's so few picnic shelters in like the Clark Park down there, or you have to go back.
Captain William Clark.
Park mm-hmm. and
Lacrimus.
What's that?
There's none at Lacrimus.
Yeah.
We have a...
there's
a very small shelter at Lacrimus that we considered adding and making available for reservation, but it's partly covered. We just ultimately decided it didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hazeldale, too. I mean, that's a pretty good-sized park to only have two mm-hmm. picnic shelters there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll move on a little bit to... I'll move forward to parking fees. At the end of the slide presentation here, we have several slides of numbers that we can pour through. The parking fee program is located in 4 of the regional parks: Frenchman's Bar, Louisville, Salmon Creek on the Klein Line Pond side of the park, and at Vancouver Lake Regional Park. Parking fees are daily and they are year-round. Typically, we'll put staff in the fee booths from about March 15th through September 30th. And then also in kind of off-season dates from October through March, depending upon how busy a park may be. If we have a special event, a large special event to help customers get in the park faster rather than stopping and paying in a meter, if weather is warranted. So if we get a spike hot day, if we're looking ahead and projecting good weather, it's a good opportunity to get out and put staff out in the booths to sell annual passes, particularly this time of year. The daily fees are ranging between $2 per vehicle all the way up to $8 per day, depending on the type of vehicle. Annual pass fees have not changed since the program was reinstated in 2017. They started at $30 a year. They've remained at $30 a year. And we'll get into the actual numbers of how many we sell. And then as far as where can I go to buy a pass is concerned, we have 8 locations. So we have here at the Public Works Operations Center, at the Public Service Center downtown. Battleground Community Center also sells parking passes. We'll sell parking passes in the 4 regional parks at the feed booths when they're staffed. And then finally, we sell parking passes online at clark.wa.gov/parks. So, As far as picnic shelter actual numbers, rentals, and revenue are concerned, in 2016 we processed 1,100, nearly 1,200 reservations for about $80,000. Over the course of time, over the last 3 years, those numbers have steadily increased to 1,300 plus reservations and anywhere between $112,000 to $125,000 a year in shelter reservations. So
going back, mm-hmm. you had said $24,000 for community park mm-hmm. shelters. This, what's the difference here?
2019 is the number?
Yeah, I see that.
So
yeah.
118.
Now let me find it. Okay. So just in the community parks, we're doing about
24,000. So this is including the regional parks,
this is
where
everything.
The real money is.
Yeah, this is
okay.
everything.
Okay.
Next slide. So as far as parking fees are concerned, I want to give you a picture of our transaction volume just to let you know how busy these locations are. This top column up here, the subtotal, these are all the transactions that are conducted directly in the fee booths when we have staff in those booths. So over the course of time, you've seen we started $136,000 in 2017. We're down to about $105,000 in 2019. But that is largely due to the fact that we installed parking meters. So what happens is we process, as you can see here in 2019, we did another almost 25,000 transactions in parking meter sales.
So the totals are
yeah.
Right
so
there.
Down
the true totals.
The true totals are down here at the bottom. In 2019, we did 130,000 total transactions either out of parking meter or via the fee booth, compared to the last 2 years, which previous years averaged about 135,000.
Is this counting people who are coming in with the annual passes?
No,
are they
it does
checking?
Not.
So that's why we have the dip.
Correct.
Likely.
Correct. We don't have. It would make it a little slower for us. It would take a little longer to get people into the park if
yeah.
we're scanning and tracking every single pass mm-hmm. or writing down every single pass.
And how many passes last year?
That's a good question. So here's the next slide is annual pass sales. So in 2019 we did a little over 4,600 in pass sales. Mm-hmm. 2017 it's 3,100. The difference here is that in 2017 we started pass sales in the program in April, so we missed an entire quarter. So, and then as people have become more familiar and aware of the program, pass sales have obviously increased. And I like it's a pretty good value if we're charging $3 per car. So mm-hmm. if you're a regular, and most of the past sales you'll see here, a huge majority are at Louisville and then Battleground. So you know, pushing half of our past sales are mm-hmm. in the Louisville Battleground area.
Big drop in Vancouver Lake, huh, between 18 and 19?
It's also, if you look here, there's also a...
big drop in transactions?
Yeah, a decline in transactions. So from 2018, we did about 27,000 transactions at Vancouver Lake. 2019, we did about
the water.
23.
Yeah.
Water was closed.
We were closed. Yeah, or there were... park wasn't necessarily... wasn't actually closed, but there were certainly warnings throughout the summer, which yeah. is reflected here. There
so I have a question. You keep going back and forth between dollars and transactions, mm-hmm. and I can't follow which one
sure.
you're talking about.
So right now I'm talking about transactions. I'm sorry.
Okay. So are these numbers here, are they actually the transactions, or are they the dollars?
These are transactions.
Okay.
Just to give you a sense of, these are, so 130,000 vehicles came in.
Okay.
We had a unique transaction with 130,000 different vehicles.
And that's probably average of $3.50 per vehicle or something like that?
It ends up being about $3-ish.
$3-ish.
You have your numbers there, mm-hmm. you have your, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's look at that too.
So, to your question about dollars.
Yeah.
So
there you
go. Oh, okay.
So total sales revenue the last 3 years has ranged between 504 in 2017 to 539 in 2019. Calculating, when we factor in our actual program operational expenses, just
the cost for us to run the program, my time, some staff time, fee booths. We've ranged between $317,000 net revenue in 2017 to $336,000 net.
And just as a reference point, a fully loaded full-time position in maintenance is close to $85,000. So
$336,000.
So it's four maintenance positions.
It's not including equipment, but if you threw cars in there, that's about, yeah.
And so all those fees go to pay for maintenance people for the parks? Is that
they
the
offset our general fund. They don't discriminate against where it goes. It's just the way they transfer money. They do a revenue distribution every year and just move money in subsidy.
I know I've asked the question before, but why don't we do that at Lacamas or William Clark Parks?
I think Lacamas, there are some challenges in terms of just volume is one challenge. And then if we install or had a program at that location, do we push people to park in other places into the neighborhoods, surrounding streets, or over across the street into Heritage Park, into their parking lot, or parking in the lodge? And again, there aren't a ton of parking stalls there. So you take Frenchman's Bar or even Louisville or Vancouver Lake, they have
a lot more.
There's overflow. There are a couple of different overflow lots of Vancouver Lake. Frenchman's Bar has an overflow lot to the south and east of the Riverview Picnic Shelter. So it comes down to size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Louisville, they park outside the parking lot until they don't have a choice, then they have to go in. Yeah. That's always really it's full.
And you talk about Hazeldale. Hazeldale's full with just the one big shelter book. So. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's kind of the same idea with in terms of capacity, when the program was eliminated in 2013 or 2014, parking fees were collected at two of the boat launches, Papa and Daybreak. When we reinstated the program, we elected not to do it because it just didn't pencil out in terms of revenue collected versus time we'd have to go up and just
be there.
Take care of stuff.
Handle it. Just didn't make sense.
What about now that we have fee machine, does it make sense to revisit that there?
Eventually, the machines we have now are about $8,500 a piece. So over time, you're going to make that money back.
Mm-hmm. One more question: are you moving on to fee waivers?
I can.
Okay. Well, I have a question real quick. So one of the counselors has mentioned multiple times him wanting to revisit increasing parking fees. I assume he's obviously talking to you guys about that. Mm-hmm. Will you be doing that this year? Is that conversation happening this year? What's the timeline on that?
We don't have a timeline per se. What we've done is a market analysis to see how we compare to other organizations. We have a briefing paper that we brought it to council individually to consider. We haven't fed down and mapped out the specifics of when we'll have a more in-depth conversation. We're also not quite sure yet how it can be done because it's not currently codified, correct?
The fees aren't caught. They're not.
I have the best job.
They're not embedded in the code, like other departments.
We have the authority to.
But we have the authority.
Okay.
Other departments have it embedded in code, so that's there and it's transparent, and you go through it and you see it.
Mm-hmm. And we're still trying to figure out how we
can get pushback when people say, well, you're already making $350,000 in profit, why are you raising the prices?
Probably.
Maintenance costs increase every single year. And
yeah, they're the same people that complain about the facilities. So.
Exactly.
It's an involved process. We're having conversations, though. Yeah,
because we had robust conversations about bringing the fees back in late 2016 into 2017. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just definitely want us to be in the loop on that.
Yeah.
Because people are going to be talking to us about it.
Well, and it's later on. I don't want to hijack Eric's time, but I'm starting conversations on a much larger scale of just our structural budget deficit and how do we get out of
this situation over the next few years, and I want to be very careful with any revenue increases because they don't solve the sort of the bottom line, you know, foundational issues that we have with our budget. So it's part of the discussion. It's not the only crutch that we have for moving forward. We'll need lots of crutches.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
In the end, as somebody was, you were pointing out, if it's a park, it's an expense. It's not.
Yeah.
Revenue
generated. There's no way to make parks pay for themselves. Mm-hmm. At least, no good way.
You could have cost recovery targets, you know. And again, not to hijack this, but I've mentioned this before. I was just talking to some of my colleagues, former colleagues in King County, about their cost recovery targets. And I can't remember the name of the park. It's one of their most visited parks. 3 million visitors per year. That same park offers Cirque du Soleil events. Their cost recovery target is 50%. So they could bring money,
yeah,
but they can't completely recover.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's 3 million visitors. I think we had a total of 130,000 transactions for all of our regional parks.
Okay. Any other questions about?
Did we make any money on any of the leases? Like,
we just didn't include that, but we can bring that back to you if you'd like.
I'm just curious, just off the top of your head, were they...
Is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
Yeah, that's the basic question.
When you say leases...
Like the kayak thing at Lacamas and...
Concessions?
So the Lacamas vendor, I don't know what was brought in there. I didn't look into, but the vendor went out of
business. They left, yeah.
The vendor went out of business.
Because I'm just wondering, is that if we do a better job of marketing that, mm-hmm, can we make some money and have these small businesses make some money in the park? Is it worth people's time to do vendoring in the park? I think I just made up a word, vendoring. I don't think that's a word.
It's a word.
Okay.
Now it's a word.
Vendoring.
It could be parts of that.
Yeah.
So concessions are a very common way of making some sort of right profit, if you want to call it, in parks. One thing we're doing is we're pulling all of our leases, all of our partnership agreements, everything, kind of mapping all of it out and saying, okay, where are we? What are the gaps? What are the sort of requirements? We're looking at it. It's going to take us a minute to get, mm-hmm, to that point, but we are looking at everything.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to make money if you've only got, you know,
3 months.
A limited, well,
yes,
not just the 3 months, but, yeah, if you've got a limited number of visitors to the parks.
That's the key.
That's
really probably the issue.
Do you have any vendors that want to come back?
Every spring or summer, I get a handful of calls asking about, hey, I want to have a food truck, or I want to have snow cones and that kind of stuff. And that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just how do you monetize it so that it makes it worth your while?
Mm-hmm. Well, what we did at Harmony when we ran tournaments and stuff like that is, you know, we just got a kickback from every,
mm-hmm,
sale.
Yeah.
They sold a $1 hot dog, we got 5 cents or whatever of that. So it you know, when you say, you know, is it worth it? It goes back to the amount of people,
right?
Amount of visitors you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You throw a food truck out in the parking lot of, you know, Louisville or something, you'll get a lot of traffic during that time of the year. So that's the key, and that's the tough part, is trying to figure out when to do that and find a vendor that can do that that's reliable. That's the other thing. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. More side road into vendors, but has there been any uptick in litter or other problems with vendors? In other words, I have this image of the kids out there with snow cones tossing them in the bushes, and it costs us that much more money to go find the snow cones and clean it up.
I think it's reasonable to expect that there would be an uptick in trash generated by having a vendor in the park, but
but
at the same time, you're
we haven't seen anything that's significant, though.
No, I wouldn't say so, but we don't.
Well, at the same time, they are all bringing food,
mm-hmm,
anyway,
as it is.
So
they have to take their own waste out. Mm-hmm. You know, that the food prep and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you may have to, you know, if you generate more waste, again, using, mm-hmm, the tournaments as a model, which is a microcosm, if you will, if you spread it out, you know, 4 days versus 4 months, but.
Mm-hmm.
you just have to upgrade the frequency of your trash collection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and that may be, you know, Saturday and Sunday is a little more than a Monday through Friday. I don't know, but I mean that would be part of the deal that you have to look at.
Or
maybe it's just
4th of July or yeah.
Sounds just taking sense of the conversation, it sounds like there's some level of support that if we can get some of these amenities into the parks, mm-hmm. it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and some capacity to manage them, right?
Yeah.
I think it boils down, we're such a lean organization. I'm still recovering from the acreage. I'm like, what? How big are we? We're bigger than, you know, where I worked before, so. Mm-hmm. But we're a lot smaller size staff-wise.
Staff.
So it's also like a combination, the cost-benefit, right? And who's going to manage it? Because it does require management. You want to go check, make sure things are working, you're accessible. You know, you might want to diversify your vendor portfolio. I don't know that we're honestly that sophisticated, but it's part of our conversation.
Oh, and they all have to have health department permits on top of that.
Right,
else,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it's kind of snowballs.
You push as much of that as you can on them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you got to verify that. You got to get the contract
mm-hmm.
signed. I mean, there's a lot of effort to
make sense. Yeah. No. Eric's got sense.
Tough like Eric, you want more work?
I already have to remind him, like, seven, go.
You see me smiling. I'm smiling. No, they're all great ideas, and I think they all resonate with me, and I see the opportunity. I mean, the volume that we have in those locations would suggest that we could have food trucks or snow cones or whatever.
Yeah.
You insert example here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In those locations.
Yeah. But yeah, he's doing the outreach, he's managing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important to remember, too, a lot of times when people are going to parks, they're already taking picnics and all of those
That's
kinds of
true,
things.
That's true, but
so
kids can sucker a parent
oh.
into a
snow
cone
oh,
faster
yeah.
than...
Yeah.
I'll use my allowance
candy.
Money. Can I have your credit card?
But as far as food goes, most people...
That's very true,
like
yeah.
A lot of them are taking it. It's those snack-type things, I think, that are more successful in some place like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a fact. Just seems reasonable.
Yeah, good point. All right, the fee waiver policy.
Yeah.
And this we had a request.
Yeah, and this is just an early review. You were scheduled to have this review in May, but since we were coming to you with our fees anyway, we figured we might as well pick your brains, yeah?
Yeah.
And I just want to remind us, 6 p.m., we do have to.
Yeah, I think we'll be
yeah,
fine, because it's only 5. We're about
right on time.
Yeah.
So just a refresher for you, Steph brought the existing policy to you in 2017 for review. It was approved by the board in 2017 under the condition of come back to you in the fall with some update on results, which we did. We actually returned in November. I went back and I listened. I couldn't find it in October. It's because we came back in November. So just to point out that if you want to spend some time listening to the audio, it's in the November 2017 minutes. And the idea or the purpose for having a park fee waiver policy was we really need a tool to address the requests that we were expecting to receive in terms of requests for waiving event and parking fees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we did expect a high volume, and the concern is also that if we have a policy in place, it needed to be fair, it needed to be equitable, transparent. And really the biggest driver for it, like I said, was the reinstatement of the parking fee collection programs. As far as the policy goes, can I pause here? Do you all have an actual copy of it? I do have copies of
not
it.
Not in their packet.
Not on
no,
me.
No,
okay.
Not.
I have it. I printed copies here.
It.
I can pass
yeah,
it.
Yeah, pass it.
The focus on policy is for youth education and engagement, 17 and under, with the idea that these events would qualify if they're once per year. In the policy, we ask the event holders to or coordinators to submit an application, list all the criteria that we request in there in the application. The application can then go to the Parks and Lands Division Manager for review and approval. If an application is denied, the applicant can apply to the County Manager on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a component of the policy that is driven by an RCO requirement. as far I can read it. Oh, it's around youth athletic clubs using Jensen Sports Park. Just require it requires that we have a scholarship that they have a scholarship program for low income youth in order to be eligible for a fee discount. It's a requirement of the youth athletic facilities grant that we received to install the lighting at the park. Mm-hmm. So that's why that is included in the policy.
So is this or something like the Climb Line Fishing Derby? Is that one of the things that gets addressed in that?
So in 2017, and it's really continued since each year thereafter, we'll receive at most a handful of applications or requests. Mm-hmm. Climb Line Kids Fishing Derby is one of them. The Columbia Springs Watershed Festival is another. And those are the two big ones. We might get one or two per year that other than that, but every year consistently those are the two. In addition to that, we have an Easter Sunrise service that is held at Lewisville Park that for years, for as long as they've been having the event in the park, they've asked for a fee waiver from staff. We have not approved it at the staff level. It's gone either directly to the council where they would have reviewed it either at a board time or a council meeting and then given direction or approval from there or to the county manager from there. And I did invite them to attend. They weren't able to attend today to speak a little bit about their event. They arrive about 6 in the morning on Easter Sunday, set up and get started by 7, and then they're out of the park by 7:30. And their concern about, one of their bigger concerns about having a parking fee in place is just the ability to get, for everybody to get in a timely fashion to be in for the service and then out. So when I spoke to the pastor, he asked if I would take the time to convey that to you, so that's what I wanted to
do. So have they gotten their waiver usually or not?
Not at the staff level.
Not at the staff level,
but at the council level.
It appears at least the last few years that it was approved at that level.
Okay. Correct.
Well, I would think that something going on that early in the morning, nobody else is going to be using the park anyway. 6 in the morning?
It's just the slippery slope of that church asks, another church asks for an 11 o'clock. You've said yes to this church, no to this church. It's slippery for me. It's kind of like an office picnic. If it's benefiting a specific organization and not the community as a whole, I just don't.
Have they gone up to the council this year?
Not that we know of.
Not that I'm aware of. They did last year.
You said they're in a 6, start at 7, and out by 7:30?
7:30, 7:45, yeah. It's in and out in about an hour.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Efficient. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the policy currently, unless they have a youth event, I can't at my level approve it anyway. So it does, you know, regardless of who asks, mm-hmm. It could be any group, right, any affiliation, any...
Well, and really, even if we had a policy that said we're not providing a waiver for mm-hmm. those groups, they can go to council and
exactly.
go around it anyway,
exactly.
So it's...
Yeah.
Okay.
So we just... It's timely. The policy is due for review and renewal or changes... this year, May. Mm-hmm. So we want to come back to you for some review and guidance on the existing policy and the criteria within the policy. Look to you for recommendations or changes, directions on renewing if that is appropriate or making changes as appropriate. In terms of just next steps, we would get that feedback from you. And then broad strokes, update it, make changes. If we have, we may need to have conversations internally with perhaps legal or other, and then we eventually could return to you for a review and an approval.
But it sounds like it's working fairly well as is.
Yeah.
I think what I heard the concern was that if we have a fee waiver policy that it needs to be very tightly focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that from my perspective it is tightly focused and that it has worked to achieve the objectives that were desired thus far.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the changes I think should be made is that you should change the age to 18 and younger instead of 17.
I agree.
I,
it seems like there's a lot of high school kids that are 18 and 19 mm-hmm. even anymore. I can understand not going to 19, but how many kids graduate and they're 18 and a half?
Yeah.
So.
And
can we say average?
In West LN, on that sentence, I would like 18 and younger and their families, because a lot of these events are family focused in nature.
That makes sense to me too.
Just not to be nitpicky, but...
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, you have to... If the kids are going, their families are probably going.
Just dropping off, turning the kids off.
No problem.
Bye, guys.
On number three, is there a reason we have typically in there? Was that intentional because of some event, or...?
I think the idea would be that we didn't want it to be a repeating... This is restricted to a handful.
Every month or something like that.
If it's a couple times a month, is it once a week? Is it once or twice a year? So it gives us some flexibility. I think the idea would be that it gives us some flexibility to say, for example, if the fishing derby were to be held more than once a year, it would allow us the flexibility to make that determination, as opposed to if it was strictly once a year, then if they were to have an event in the fall, they would be on the hook for all of those fees if that were to happen.
So when you say once a year, because I know Climbline's 2 days generally, mm-hmm. and you still consider that as mm-hmm.
correct
one event.
Yeah, per event.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that makes sense. I'm just asking.
In full disclosure, I'm also looking at: is it really an admin? Right at my level, it's an admin decision. Does that open us up for any sort of legal issues? So I am maybe scrutinizing things a bit more than I should, but I am having legal review it.
You should be reviewing everything.
Court show, so
I'm a little confused because I thought originally we didn't want that gray area. We wanted to make it real clear.
Yeah.
Is it one event or is it not a series of events? And mm-hmm. it says both in there. Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's something in the way.
And that's where it's mm-hmm. one event, and if they disagree, they go above, and it's not on staff to make that call.
So you'd like mm-hmm. typically out
sound
of that
like
sentence?
Like youth events that occur once a year and not a series of events. But once again, I'm not a ruminant, so.
Clarity.
Yeah.
I would like to see if you're denying, and again, I know there's a handful of these mm-hmm. a year, if you're denying them and they're getting approved at a council level or over. Road at a council level, that the council's then encouraging these groups or giving these waivers to that don't fall under this policy to maybe donate some time doing a park beautification mm-hmm. project mm-hmm. at the place that they're staying at or using, like a garbage cleanup or an ivy pole, not at the date of their event, but just encouraging, like, here is, we're doing this for you.
Take cash, too.
Yeah. Or, you know, some sort of in-kind project for the waiver if it was denied because it doesn't fit this policy.
But that's, you could say in a way if that happens every year, then this is broken too.
That's part of what I've found. So 3 years now that I'm aware of, this has happened. So that's kind of the lens I was using, Dave, too.
That's a very good point.
But if you open it up, then that puts mm-hmm. the burden on you to make the call as to which group is a yes. Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a problem if they go every year over your head or over the staff's head. I don't have a problem with that. I'd much rather them do that than
mm-hmm. come here every
us wrestle with it every year.
Mm-hmm. And, I'd like to see something in here that says it's a community thing. It doesn't benefit a specific business, organization, church, company picnic, something that says this is an event that people from all over the community come to. It's not one specific congregation or company mm-hmm. or 501c3 that benefits from this waiver every year. It's
I mean, you had to define that.
I know.
Yeah. So I was about to...
You do. Yeah. You get into that, what you were saying, the slippery slope.
I guess the youth thing covers the bases pretty much.
But it can, under current policy, be just a church with a youth event, right? I mean, that's...
Okay.
Yeah. It can, under current policy, just be...
Cannot.
Can.
It can.
Because I remember I had Eric's job a million years ago when we were combined, and I did the parking fees, and I mean, some of these churches would bring in 300-400 cars mm-hmm. for a baptism, and if we just start waiving all of those because they start asking, that definitely is an issue. And so if we grant one, that opens the door for, I feel, legally other issues. If we deny
not just churches.
Not just churches, yeah. But if you say yes to one and then no to another, and it doesn't fit our policy, I mean, I guess that's on the county council. That's
I think the biggest one is 9.2, how the event provides educational engagement
yeah.
for Clark County youth.
Exactly.
If you can't answer that, you can't get the waiver, yes. in theory, at staff level.
And to your point, is it actually open to any Clark County youth? Right? I mean, I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Can any kid come
can
and
any
participate?
And yeah. it just is...
So long as they can mentor.
I'm all about things being equal, and that just doesn't sound equal to me on a higher level, that one church gets a waiver and another one who doesn't know about it, or...
Yeah. Well, you never know. If 50 of them start asking council every year, council might not approve it either.
Yeah.
And again, it goes beyond churches. It goes into, you know... areas that get really dicey very fast. So what I'm hearing is we want to do an update. We'd like to come back with some recommendations in May. Yes?
Sure.
Do we want to have a work group, or do you need any, would it help to send this out for review and input before we come back in May?
Yeah. How about you email it and we just respond in a different font, all of our ideas, and then we narrow them down. Mm-hmm. At a meeting.
Well, you know, if you're really concerned about something like churches, you can put in something like you can only use it like at 6 o'clock in the morning or something.
But,
yeah.
I'm,
you know.
It's, but I'm not.
I'm not no, either. I'm just saying because that's the one that keeps asking.
Right.
Because if they have a youth event, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Potentially.
As long as you meet the criteria, I'm
well, sure. maybe they're doing Easter.
At least for now,
for
if,
Easter.
If that's
it's
broken,
a youth event.
Right.
I know, but that gets slippery for me. I mean, we need money for parks, and we just can't be giving thousands of dollars away in parking fees every year. But that's a side issue.
I would make everyone pay.
No, I'm joking. Okay. Oh, it's messy. Messy stuff. Okay, we'll stop there. Eric, send that out to us. I do think this was mostly working. I didn't know they were getting those waivers at a council level, but...
The policy states it goes to manager, but like you said, they could go to... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All righty.
Church parking in
Daybreak. 68th Street sidewalk documents?
We should have those in here.
Yeah,
I do apologize. We had a last-minute illness, and these days it's best to let people stay home. So some of the documents are not included, but the 68th Street.
Hi, I'm Robin Washington, Public Works, Clark County.
Robin.
And I am going to let our consultant do the talking. He's the expert on this. I noticed in the packet, though, that I only see two pieces. I'm not sure what's up there.
We'll see
the
what was sent
to us.
Yeah. So are you talking about 68th Street and Hazeldale by the park
yep.
area?
Yes.
Oh, yay, they need those.
We have a capital improvement project going on. It's going to be a sidewalk from Highway 99 up to St. John's. So we're in a partnership with the city of Vancouver because they are from 28th up to St. John's. And in doing so, we have four crossings.
And who's our consultant? I'm sorry.
Kent
Snyder. Harper Hoff Peterson, the guys.
And in doing so, we have four crossings, one of which will touch the park. And so because we're touching a park, there is a 4F process that we must go through. And this is part of the requirement of the FOIA. And this is his expertise, and so I'm going to step out the way.
You're going to run. I don't know what you're going to do.
I can't do it.
All right.
Please tell me what I can get up for you.
So what I sent over a couple things. I sent over a PDF, which we can go to. And I can't read that.
Sorry.
Nope. But there should be about... a dozen pages, and if that's not a dozen pages, then we're that's
this
it. That'll work.
Ooh,
that's perfect.
Okay, yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, but I do need...
So did he send it via email?
That first.
We don't have a copy of it, Barbara.
We don't have an electronic copy.
Okay, I didn't
yeah.
see that.
Sorry, Megan got ill and we just didn't get all of our ducks in the row. I apologize.
Okay. I've put together a Q&A section. This is the 68th Street Park is going to have a, as related to, or the Hazeldale Park is going to have a new crosswalk in front of it as proposed by the 68th Street Sidewalk Project. Okay. And the overview is it when it comes over to the park, most of it sits in right of way. Some small piece of it sits inside the park. And as a consequence of that, that's why we're bringing this information to you. So, and with that, I'll go forward in this. In the complete packet, which I'm going to walk through, there's a decision, there's some decision information, but this is what's being proposed. It's a small asphalt concrete landing. It's immediately west of the driveway. Okay, so when you're at the driveway and you drive in, just right to the west of that, just as you come in, there's a small new landing that will work for a crosswalk. How large is the impact? It's really, really small. It's 85 square feet.
Oh.
Okay. So most of it, and I have drawings, most of it sits outside the park, but there's a little piece, and as a consequence of that, we're coming to you as a result of the federal process and saying, here's what it is. We need your input. We need agreement. We need the manager to prepare a letter and approve and send back. And so that's the impact. So this says a 4F process. What's the 4F process? U.S. Department of Transportation Act of 1966 said, if you're going to go through a park, a refuge, historical sites, so on and so forth, you have to have it reviewed by the city or the county or whatever, whoever's in charge of it. That's essentially what it says. And you say, why then? Because we were in the interstate transportation mode at the time, and we were blasting through parks. We were blasting through wetlands. We were moving those highways as the way we'd often done business through those, and people said it's not a good idea. So Section 4F of the Transportation Act says if you're going to provide transportation project and you're going to go through the park, a recreation land, wildlife refuge, historical sites, you have to go through an analysis to disclose the impacts and minimize them or avoid them. So the next question is, why are we bringing this federal question to you? The reason is because in the 4F document, it says you have to, if you're getting federal money, you've got snared by the federal government to do the review. And in fact, that's the case here because Clark Public Works has gotten transportation alternatives funding and congestion mitigation and air quality improvement funds. So as a result of the funding that the Public Works has received, okay, that's the connection to the feds. And that's why they have to comply with the 4F process. Part of that 4F process is coming and talking to you people, explaining what the impacts are. Okay. The next one says, what is a de minimis impact? A de minimis impact is just that which has very little impact. It's not defined because it varies. In some cases, it can be simply a utilization of a parking lot by construction equipment, for example. In this particular case, it's 85 square feet of permanent impact. Okay. And then the next question and answer that I have is, why is it coming to you? That's it. And then the next last question that I've written there is, what are the next steps? So after you've had a discussion, it's recorded in your minutes, the manager provides a cover letter to go with a document that an analysis, which we'll go through, and that gets returned back to Public Works, which gets then sent up to WSDOT and FHWA for review and approval. This actually goes to FHWA. They put their hands on it. They look at it. They review it and say yes, and they sign it. So it goes through that whole process. What I have now is the analysis document, which you can go up to the next. There you go. So that's, I don't think it's in, it's not in the packet apparently, but it is, it should be in the materials. It's in the PDF, so it can be printed. Okay. And so this is an analysis document, standard format that WSDOT and FHWA have agreed to. And this is a summary table. We prepared this on March 4th. It says where it is. It says what the resources are, so on and so forth. The next page, and then, just a note, the official with jurisdiction.
That sounds like me.
I think I know her. That looks, you know that person?
I might know her.
You might know that person, or somebody with it hails by that name. So that's who needs to have a cover letter come through. The next page, it just goes through what's going on, describe the property, the community park, it describes what the impacts are, it describes what's going to be removed, where it's going to be, how we've gone about avoiding impacts, and how it minimizes the impacts, for example, the size of the landing. So that goes on for a few pages. And then, here's the part that form goes up to WSDOT and FHWA, and those are the two signature lines that need to be signed off on for the 4F approval. Okay, so you're seeing everything that's been drafted by us, been reviewed by Public Works, and if there's something in there that doesn't quite seem right, you should raise your hand, circulate that back to us, and we can either answer that questions or whatever. So, next. That's because it's your loser. So where are we? Can I do this? Can I stand up? Am I allowed to do this?
You are.
I'm
going to
do
this. Oh, you
want
to go
okay?
Up there?
Is this
yeah.
Okay? Can I do this?
You're doing great. Very impressed.
He's going to use his pointer.
I'm going to use my pointer. It's not an electronic pointer, so nobody's going to get zapped by the laser. Okay, you know where you are.
Here.
Here's the entranceway. Here's the parking lot. There's the crosswalk. Okay. Just on the other side, just before you go in. Are you all familiar that there's a fence in there? I'll show it to you in a minute. All of this impact, quote unquote, lies outside of the fence. So outside of the regularly used part of the park. Okay. Next. We'll go past that. Can you rotate that?
Right there. See that little round about?
Left.
And the go left?
Center of the page, basically.
Mm-hmm. No, that
right there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or not.
Yeah, I think you can just scroll.
That's okay. Yeah. You can go, just scroll down. And we'll fix it. No, the other way. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. So here's the park entrance. Here's the new proposed sidewalk. Okay. And here's the landing on the south side. The crosswalk, there's a landing on that side. And then here's the right-of-way. So, as you can see, most of this quote-unquote impact sits within the right-of-way that the county already has. Okay. There's a little piece, this little L shape, that's the permanent right-of-way, the permanent impact. It's outside the right-of-way. Okay. I've got a hazy line out beyond that. You got to build it, which means you're going to disturb a little bit more space than that. This is our best guess at how big that might be. It's 400 square feet. It may not nearly be that big. It just depends on if this side is going to be concrete and they need to put the foundation or the forms in. They may just have to roll back the fence and then put it back in place. So this is a guess. But we always guess a little bit bigger. because we don't want to do it again. Once is enough. All right.
Where do you want to go?
I want to go down.
And there'll be enough room.
And then there's
between the driveway and the fence.
Yes.
Tickets.
Yes. Okay. Okay, so there's the park.
I'm dizzy.
Right.
All
right.
Sorry. All right. So, here's the fence I was talking about. Here is the black line. It'll be on, you'll be able to see it. This is really the area we're talking about. Most of this in through here that we're only talking about is a drainage way. There's a culvert, moves water. We won't fill it in without adjusting, extending the culvert and so on and so forth. But this is the little area we're talking about. So most of the park that gets used sits on the other side of the fence, and all the work will be on that side. Here's a close-up. This is what we have to design now. If we're at 75%, if we go to 90%, or if we go to the finals, you might see an adjustment, but that's not our goal. So I'm going to put it at the fence. It's behind the fence. You don't have my home address. Don't come looking for me.
So what I'm hearing you say is you'll get me a new fence and an ADA access to the park? Is that
you're going to get an ADA access.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to get a new fence.
Well, in case you move
it. Oh, if we move it, then we'll have to do that. Absolutely. Yes. So if we go back here, for example, and we have to take the fence around it, yes, that would be part of it.
What bothers me is you guys already took it upon yourselves to paint the dashed line through the grass.
Right? We should have gotten some sort of a payment for that.
But
moving along.
They're after me. But
okay. So when you say, can you go back to that? When you say you fill in that area, you to the outside between the road and the red line, you're going to fill in that area? You're going to change the grading of that?
Yeah, it'll come up to the level. I have another image later on, which you actually have. So the curb will come out.
Okay.
You come across the street. There'll be a landing here flush with the asphalt on this side.
All right, so you got a culvert, then you're going to extend the culvert
back out? I'm just
going to
extend the culvert back out. Yeah.
And it's sized correctly? And I don't think that's that much of an additional impervious area. So.
No. It's not. Another thing that we have to include, as you know, the park is part of the larger discussion about 78th Street. It is on the National Register of Historic Places. So this information just travels with the document as it goes to Washoe. Everybody knows that. This analysis is also traveling through the 106 process, which is part of the National Register of Historic Places process that goes through the State Historic Preservation Group. So there's two different regulations, two different parallel processes.
Mm-hmm. So Hazeldale Park is on the historic register because of the WSU facility on the other side?
It's because when the park, when this was put in place, the park was deemed, it was an old pasture back in the day of the poor farm, okay? And so if you look at back some of the older pictures, you'll see cows in there, okay, and so on and so forth. So it was part of the poor farm, and the decision was made at the time in 12 to include the park as part of the larger historic approval process. And there's just three pages of that.
That's the end.
Okay. So then you have a handout.
There's a picture.
Oh, there you go. So this is a real place. Its identity has been withheld by doing some modifications to the image, but you could probably find it if you drive around the county somewhere. This is exactly the situation we're talking about. It's a crossing on the street, comes over to, this one case is an asphalt landing,
And then in this case, people would come in across here, and then this one just pretend this is the entrance to the park, because that's what would happen. People would stop on the landing, and then they would go into the park. It may be concrete. It may be asphalt. That's not resolved yet. In the design, now it says asphalt. But in the end, the engineers will have to decide what works best in that particular situation. And then I don't know if the last thing that you have in there or not, but in the packet there is a letter drafted. There you go. It's a ghosted letter.
Oh, well.
There you go.
She already did it.
Makes it easy.
I'm so good.
You are ahead of the curve.
Yeah. So this is essentially what you need, right? This is like, we did the public involvement. I'm assuming this is a check mark, and then a letter from me. And our notes come in the form of an audio file.
Yeah, and I'll have to check back with WashDOT and see how that is. There may be, this simply says on there that it was reviewed. We usually attach paper copies. We've done this, a couple other ones. We've usually agenda. Something like that, and then we can probably send an audio file up electronically with it.
Would it be helpful if we made a motion and voted
to approve
the project?
That would be very, very helpful.
So okay. Moved.
I'll move to recommend
approval of the project.
I'll second it. All in favor?
I have one discussion.
Okay.
I
hate to rush you, but do it really quick because Galena has to talk about parking.
Is there any separation between the drive aisle and where you have the curb now? Will the curb remain, or is the curb being, so it'll all just be asphalt across?
Or concrete, yeah. Okay. To keep it at grade, because everything else, the curb is... So, no. Not as it's presently planned.
All right, I'm done.
Okay. So, it's been approved. Thanks for your time.
So in that letter, I can go back and make some changes, and we can circulate it back to you.
Yeah, let me know.
Say it's approved, and so on and so forth. It has to go on Clark County has to go on County Letterhead, right. And so on and so forth. I can work with, Robin can work with somebody to do all those things. I'm going to leave that.
Thank you so much for your work on that.
Thank you.
Will the sidewalk only be on the south side, across all the way 99 to St. John's?
As it's currently planned, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Good project.
Thank you.
Sidewalk on the street.
I have very
Harmony's not going to take a while.
Well, it depends on how much discussion you want.
Do you want to skip and do manager's report A, B, C, and D, and then we'll circle back to Harmony?
Yeah.
Let's do that because I think that's going to be the most talked about.
Yeah.
Probably.
So, just really quickly, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how much information is too much information for you and not enough information for you, so bear with me. You tell me what is and isn't relevant or useful to you. I keep talking about this whole cost recovery issue in parks, and I know you have some really strong opinions and ideas around it. The point is we need to have this conversation in a more comprehensive fashion. What does it mean for parks? Where does it apply? How does it apply? What are we talking about? What are our targets? Are they realistic? So it's a discussion we'll continue to have. And really the point of me even having it on the agenda today is just to say, yep, it's an important topic. Keep it on your radar. I don't know what we'll bring to you in terms of cost recovery conversation this year, but I do expect us to look at Heritage Farm business plan as it unfolds, just so you are in the loop and know what mm-hmm. we're doing. You know, as I mentioned today, Council's request with Heritage Farm today was up to the break-even point. That's a lot of money. That's close to $600,000, so there's going to be a lot of planning and analysis.
Give any funding associated with... Who's paying for this business plan?
So what we've told them today is that we'll need a consultant
to
provide support to my team. We didn't talk to them about funding because I don't know what something like that would cost, right?
Yeah.
Like, I could only imagine a pros plan... scope.
Are we talking about something that robust, something less robust than that? The guidance we received today wasn't specific to how it's going to be funded. What we were asked to do is to put a management structure in place that is a bit more controlled, mm-hmm. is how I interpreted mm-hmm. that. They want us, the park staff, to know who's there, what are they doing, how much are they paying. So that's going to require some thinking, because Pat Lee's time currently is 15%, I think, to that location. It's not a lot of time for this work. We didn't talk about how to fund this work or how to fund capital improvements that might be needed to create revenue. So a lot of it is still
in the air,
yeah, largely. And today wasn't for that. Today we were celebrating the approval process.
Sure.
More to come, but the cost recovery is becoming more and more real. And you know, as a parkie and someone who has networks here locally and nationally, cost recovery issues are, you know, not new to parks, right? We try to, especially with recreational facilities, to recover some cost of running those facilities, but it depends. I was talking to a friend of mine who runs Bend Parks and Recreation side of things. One of her community centers has 89% cost recovery, but it's Furstenberg on steroids, right? It's got a river, and
yeah,
it's got like a, yeah, it's a Josephine, I can't remember what it's called. So cost recovery is something that parks do. How we do it here in Clark County is still up in the air, but it's becoming more and more relevant and more important to our discussion about parks in general.
Just to clarify, they want that park to break even.
They've asked me today because I brought up.
Sorry.
Exactly what they said. Yeah.
You know, and not. I know this is not public comment, but Milata was there. Did you hear something different? I heard them say, because I asked a couple of times. I said, just, I need guidance from you on how much. The total budget is $560,000 in 2018. 2019 actuals are not in yet, but about $600,000. And what I heard, at least three of them say break even at $600,000.
That seems unrealistic to me. Again, back to what your comment was, and we had talked about this somewhat briefly last month, parks don't break even. They're parks. But, I understand the issue of some cost recovery, and there's income to be made there if you really did a good job, and there's lots of things that you could do there. But I just don't. I don't know what a park like Hazel Dell Park costs mm-hmm. on an annual basis. So I have no comparison at all. I have no idea. And I guess that's part of the issue, is that if you've got nothing to compare it to, then how do you say if that's a realistic number or not? And I'm just such a novice at it, I really mm-hmm. have no idea.
It goes back to, at least for me, and you know, this is my opinion, not a recommendation or a vetted, you know, option, but my opinion is that we need to do some analysis, we need to look at best practices. You know, we have 56, 57 full-time employees. We're funded through three different buckets, three different resources. So I want to look at all of it. I'm kind of that person who wants to look at things holistically. With that mm-hmm. said, we're going to start with Heritage Farm and see what we can come up with. We have great community support, which is huge, and community has a lot of good ideas. But to your point, whether or not those ideas are going to materialize at a $50,000 a month return on investment,
I just
don't
seem
know.
Realistic.
Yeah.
Again, I would love to know what it costs for someplace like Hazel Dell Park mm-hmm. or Kleinliner. I since I have just absolutely no base, mm-hmm. I just don't have any idea. And if it comes back that Hazel Dell Park costs $600,000 a year to operate, then why do you need Heritage to break even if you're spending that much at other parks?
So I could tell you, minus overhead and indirect costs, the Luke Jansen, our annual budget for maintenance only, is about $250,000. Mm-hmm. So that's my staff who work there, that's their supervisor's time to manage them, that's their equipment, that's their cost of supplies. They don't break even.
And that has to be one of our more expensive parks to maintain, because mm-hmm. we have how many full-time
Four.
Employees there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no...
And that's ignoring your depreciation and capital costs when you go through.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Cover
those
fields.
Yeah.
So why, if it costs $250,000 for Luke Jensen, and that's one of your more expensive parks, why does it cost $600,000 for
Heritage. Again, back to your comment earlier, I don't want to hijack this meeting.
Yeah. It's all the weird stuff with WSU Extension, right?
So the county, the way council, I believe, again, I can't read people's minds, but I believe the way they're looking at it is the general fund allocated to the farm and the farm function, which is the Washington State University Extension, is about $600,000. $360,000 in 2018 was just the extension services. Okay. So then for parks, for Pat's position, we get about $17,000. That's not including overhead. That's just billable rate. For Joe Zimmerman, who's at the farm doing maintenance, it's about $81,000, $82,000, not fully loaded. Again, no overhead. IT services, $36,000. And so it adds up to about $600,000. But they're looking at it more. And I had Heritage Farm Advisory board members come up to me today. They're like, so they are looking at the whole budget. I said, I think they're looking at general fund subsidy.
Yeah.
The general fund is lacking. So they're looking at each piece of it to see. And so they'd like Heritage Farm to be a break-even scenario, although it won't be.
We'll do our best. We'll start working on options.
Yeah. Wine tasting.
Wine tasting. You know, again, I can't.
The waterfront has that on lockdown, so it's going to be hard to get in that market. Every day you open the paper and there's a new winery opening on the waterfront.
Right.
Like, or tasting room.
There is a tasting room, I just said.
There's seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
There's seven already.
Yes.
Seven about 3.5 years.
Wow.
Huh?
I know.
Yeah. There'll be three.
It'll change over. That's very true.
Yeah.
We'll keep working on it. I just want to be transparent with you. And again, part of it, like, said, me learning. I don't know how much information is too much.
No, this is about right, actually, especially on bigger issues like this.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll skip to the MPD projections. Again, I do apologize. Our packets today didn't come together the way they should have. But you've heard Bill, I trust, my predecessor, say that our MPD, we have structural budget issues with MPD. So it's the Metropolitan Parks District. At one point, I don't know how many years ago, there was a complete freeze on any increases to MPD. Do you have it? Do you want to pull it up just really quick? Yeah. So our MPD budget pays for most of our parks. This is the old and new parks that we've built over the last 10 years and the few that we're still building. Even at the current...
one that's never going to get built.
Right.
One at the current rate, built what?
The other one the city took.
Dave's, yeah.
Cali Meadows.
Council could give us 1% increases to MPD every year, and I'll just get up and very quickly show you. Even if they do that, we don't keep up with cost of living expenses and all the inflation, like you were saying. We can't keep up. This is not hiring any new people. This is staying the way we are, same size organization, building more parks. We will be diving into our fund balance as early as 2025. So we're...
I want to see this graph with the general fund parks that they moved into there taken out. I want to see that number.
So
because when taxpayers voted for this MPD levy, they did not vote for those other parks to be pushed into this. And so it makes it hard to go to the citizens and say, look, you voted to fund and maintain these parks. We're running out of money because we moved other parks that we didn't tell you we were going to move into this budget.
I don't understand. Which parks are we?
So some regional parks. I don't know which ones. Do you, John?
Klein Line
and a couple others that were not supposed to be in the MPD.
Yeah. So
because the general fund struggles, they bump them into there to have the MPD pay for their maintenance. But that is not what was supposed to happen, and that's not what voters were told.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes it, hard.
There's a lot of unpacking to do.
Well,
my favorite phrase is a lot of unpacking to do.
Yeah.
Lots of layers to this one. But even if we took Klein Line out, I still don't believe at the current rate, if we continue to maintain the parks, if we provide the same level of service, if we continue to just the same number of people, don't even hire any new people to do Curtain Creek and the three or however many more parks we have to build. At the rate that we're able to get increases at, it's not even a cost of living adjustment.
Yeah.
Right? It's a cost of living, but these days, 2.93%.
Yeah.
We could get 1%.
Wait, is that...
We're going
to
be in a...
And I'm not trying to argue it, but is that just the 1%, or does that include the new construction?
So this is just, MPD only pays for operation and maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So this would be added in this formula?
No, I mean your revenues should include the revenue off of new construction. So in Washington State, you get 1% increase on existing property tax mm-hmm. levies, plus you take all new construction and apply that value to...
I don't know the answer to it, actually.
That can make a huge difference.
It could, but I do believe we have a table. And I will send this to you so you could... maybe help me look at it through a different lens. He dropped the actual data in here for us to look. No, here you go. So everything that he included for me is here. He did actuals, and then under, he itemized the budget for me. He did include the general fund transfer that we get.
Click on one of the outer years of property tax revenue and just see what the formula is in there.
I don't know if he did or not. That's a good question.
Where is that?
So it's the first line with numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just the actual numbers.
Yeah.
Is no.
Yeah.
Oh, well, actually go out into the projected, though. That's
jump like an another year, 2021.
Yeah.
Same line,
H
2021.
Or, yeah, there we go. Okay, and it goes elsewhere.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. What I can do is have him come and explain the numbers behind it to me. I don't remember if that's included.
Yeah, I would assume it would be, but if it wasn't,
good question.
That could be
mm-hmm. yeah.
big.
So,
we'll
main line
is
we're going to probably have to go to voters and ask for an increase.
So what I've told,
funding.
Yeah, what I've told my staff is I want to put together an alternative funding task force to look at all the options, and one of them could be talking about whether or not we expand the MPD size or ask for a higher, you know, 3% or 5%,
or a countywide levy to maintain parks.
I think we need
or
to look at all of our options.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Levy lid lift on that specifically. Mm-hmm.
There
easiest.
You go. That's
yeah.
what was suggested to me by the auditor's office.
So when you say county lid lift, are you thinking in terms of not having in the city of Vancouver because they're working with Stronger Vancouver for parks, or would that be included as
we
well?
We would need to analyze, I think, all of our options. Whatever options
yeah.
are available. I think it's too early to say that, you know, I personally, like I said, working here and living here is very different. I don't know what the appetite is for voters in North County
Let
for
speak.
Yes. So I think we need to analyze all of our options,
mm-hmm.
including possibly taking things out of the MPD, right?
That's exactly
that
what the
timing.
Answer would be, is that tone there. Okay, well, keep us posted on that, because that's definitely an issue, especially if the economy goes down, and then no one's going to vote for anything, and then our parks will suffer the same thing we did in 2008 when we came, where we had to stop building parks and maintenance issues and... So
I just
hope we're ahead of the curve on this and we don't wait till like the year before we run out of money.
You know, I just say, coming from an organization that had $1 billion in parks assets with half of it in deferred maintenance and not being able to keep up with our maintenance
yeah.
backlog, essentially not doing our due diligence and keeping the parks as clean as they can be, I don't want the repeat of it here,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to do my very best to start unpacking, looking at these things, but it's quite clear to me that we have some serious structural issues with our budget.
Yeah.
So I think you're better off to have fewer parks that you can actually maintain than more that sits unmaintained.
That's a whole separate conversation.
Yeah. On that note, we are building a new park.
Yeah.
But so just very quickly, Cozy Camp, we had an open house. I know I jumped a little bit.
You're fine.
Cozy Camp, we had an open house a couple of weeks ago. It went pretty well. We had some folks who had some really legitimate concerns about not having sidewalks all over the property or you know, all the way continuous to their homes and how to get to this neighborhood park and whether or not we would offer parking. Barb was there. Thank you, Barb, for coming. We had a conversation with the... was the people who came. I don't know if Carolyn is still here. We had maybe 30, 40 people show up. We asked them to vote on the kind of park playground they wanted. So there is a, there should have been, of course not.
It wasn't available for her in the folder. She
Well, I will tell you, there is a preferred concept for Cozy Camp. I will send it to you, and it was...
I can get to it from my folder.
Yeah, if you have it, we'll pull it out. But I'll send it to you, and we're still talking to our counterparts in transportation about the street improvements for the larger section of the park. Hopefully we don't have to do those, because if we do, we don't have a budget for the park.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yes. Signs are good, but we have to get the final paperwork signed.
That's the one over by Vinewood, right?
No, this is kind of in Salmon Creek.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, it's like really a small neighborhood park.
Campy area.
Yeah,
cozy campy area. Very good. I'm impressed.
It's a happy camper.
Yeah. So I'll keep you in the loop on that.
So was it concept two?
Say that.
Yes.
Yeah, concept two was the preferred one.
Oh, super.
Yeah, super pretty, very pretty.
These are slides.
Oh,
that
cool.
Will be built in Sand
Hill.
Oh,
cool. Neat idea.
That's
cool. And then this is the one that everybody selected.
I want to climb on that.
Mm-hmm. Most people like that.
Great. Yeah, something different than what we usually put in.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
it is
great.
Different. Yeah. I know my maintenance folks don't like the structures very much.
I know.
But
I know.
Is it ADA accessible?
We'll try to. I believe so. It has to be. It's required,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
On the side we're improving, it's required. And then it has a continuous loop around the park, just a little under, I think,
nice.
A mile.
That's cute.
It's super cute. Yeah, it's very low key. There's a big wetland. We have a neighbor who's very unhappy about being too wet. We don't have the resources to address the wetland.
To dry out a wetland.
Well, but, you know, he's got some really good concerns. It's really, really, the flooding on his property is significant, but it is a wetland, and we just don't have the resources to fix the drainage issue there. Switching gears to VGSA, Vancouver Girls
Softball
Association. So they came to you last time, I believe, was a request to consider upgrading the parking infrastructure. I'm working with them not super intensely, largely because we don't have the resources right now.
Yeah.
What I've asked my folks to do is start a deferred maintenance list. Right now it's complaint driven largely. So when people call us and say, oh, your bridge is falling apart, we take action by closing it if need to, but then put it on the list and start prioritizing. Since I started, we had 3 or 4 emergency types of repairs that we had to make. So I'm trying to kind of, again, create some systems for us to manage our capital program, but for now we don't have the resources.
I guess I was confused. I thought that they were
gonna pay for
that.
It all.
Yeah.
Not for the parking lot. No.
No, mm-hmm. I don't like it though.
Yeah.
I liked it before.
Yeah, no.
I like the idea of
it. I thought that they were funny.
Having been stuck in that parking lot multiple times, but
yeah, weren't they planning on the entrance, redoing the entrance? That is what I thought they were planning on doing.
Yeah.
But they're not doing it.
Yeah.
They've asked us to fund it. I mean, it could be a collaborative, right? A lot of our nonprofits are really great collaborators. We don't have any money to invest right now. And until I have kind of a good idea of how do we manage emergency and urgent issues, what happens when we close an entire bridge and how do we fix it, we don't really have an answer for it right now. What I've seen is Bill was very successful at getting $1 million a couple of years ago in REIT funding for repairs. Major maintenance is what they're known everywhere else. So we've funded some projects in the last 2 years, and we've rolled funding forward. This year, since I've started, I've asked that we prioritize things and look at emergency repairs first, and then optional or kind of wants next, and we don't have the resources for wants.
Do we have an asset management system, or it's all we don't?
No, there was someone, intern who worked here 4 years ago, who did an assessment of, like, she mapped out the trees even in some parks. But that's the baseline for us right now. It's not super sophisticated. We'll work on that too. You know, it just keeps us.
we'll add that there.
I'll keep
scrolling. Yeah, I'll look like Eric.
But I did reach out to VGSA. They had another idea with another nonprofit to put a bubble, inflatable bubble. I don't know if you've ever been to the Portland Tennis Center. If you haven't, it's literally a bubble. It's a building this size, bigger actually. Tennis Center is 3 times the size, and it's inflated. But it's a semi-permanent structure, essentially. It doesn't deflate very easily. Anyway, there's some discussion about funding something like that. We're also exploring that.
Those are not very cheap.
For what?
They're not.
Why would
They're
you
not.
Put one in?
They want to do indoor games, and it's semi-permanent, so it really, I think, just requires the foundation, and it's it's essentially removable, but they have somebody who's interested in funding it up front, paying for it.
Yeah,
and then,
well, then sure. Yeah. Put it in.
Yeah, so we've had conversations with them about that. And the last thing is Harmony Sports Complex, and I know we didn't leave ourselves.
Do you
want
to roll that over? Do you feel it warrants?
I think I need to just mention it in this setting, so you know, again, just full transparency. The city of Vancouver has a master plan for Section 30, where Harmony Park is located. When we split up from the city, Harmony Park stayed with the county, even though I believe it's completely contained within the city limits. Mm-hmm. We still own it. Harmony Sports Complex folks and their tenants do a great job at managing it. Long story short, Section 30 shows 13th Street going through the park, slicing it essentially in half. We've daylighted this issue with Harmony Park. Folks, they were very much taken aback. I think they were under the impression that the city and the county would figure out a way to not slice the park in half. I don't know that we have that option available, so we're working with them, our consultants, our grantors, and the city, trying to figure, and Rachi, who are land owners next door to the park, to see if we could maybe do some sort of a land swap and change the layout of the park where they still get 1-for-1 asset ratio, but just a different layout, making them whole. It's a very complex.
Who would fund that?
Right? It's like everything else. So we're hoping, I think today I wasn't able to attend. There was a meeting, there was a work group meeting with our tenants and the consultant to see if they could actually stay the way they are, but split softball and soccer. Right, and north would be softball, and I think soccer would be south of 13th.
Yeah, there's not enough room. Mm-hmm. It would only work if we purchased the extra land as well.
We would need extra land, yeah. So, to answer your question, we don't have a funding plan yet, but we need to figure out the layout.
So, I'm just going to say this. I think in the county lease it says whoever is driving this has to replace dollar for dollar.
1-for-1 ratio.
1-for-1 mm-hmm. ratio. So it seems like to me the developer is on Section 30 would be responsible for that. But I get the same reaction from everybody when I say that. I mean, I don't think.
Let's just say our tenants have been very supportive of the efforts to make them whole and emotional at the same time, because this is a big, I think it was a big blindside for them. This is 13, so our park currently, we also use the BPA
right away
right here, so the park is continuous right from here to here. This is 13, and then I think there's a plan for this street to go through. We're trying to see if the city would maybe punch through 185th.
And is this off the HP complex?
Yep, HP is going right here.
That's
the 3D printer. Yeah.
Which could still fail. Mm-hmm. Let's hope. I mean, no, that's a bad idea.
No comment.
So why again are they putting a street right through the middle of this park?
So there is, and forgive me, I'm not a transportation expert, but when the city did a master plan for this area, this is one of the, do you want to help me? It's like a collector street.
I want to say it's a collector. I might be wrong about that.
It's a collector.
It needs to connect east and west in the larger section 30. Mm-hmm. And so that's the intent of this road and the connection through. So that's why we've been looking at how do we deal with that to keep kids safe and parking appropriate and all those kinds of things. There's a huge effort for that.
But we could come back to you and update you. You know, right now, really, there's a lot of brainstorming, meetings with stakeholders, meeting with the city, Rachi's trying to figure out what to make of all of this, right? It just is what it is, one of those things. I wish I had a solution for all of our issues, but this is probably one of the bigger ones that we're trying to solve for right
now. But the county could be financially responsible for compensating Harmony if this road goes through? Is that a possibility?
I don't know that we are necessarily financially responsible. Our lease states that we would need to do a 1-for-1 ratio replacement.
So maybe another HOA will come give us a bunch of free land.
I hope
we can give to Harmony.
Yeah.
So this is, again, unresolved, no closure. I'm leaving you with nothing. I'm just telling you, FYI.
Yeah. You have a lot of fun projects on your plate, Elena. Yeah.
Just to reiterate the disclosure that I made like a couple of years ago, I'm still working on that project next door.
Yeah.
Warachi?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Which project are you working on?
Section 30.
Do you still have partners interested in Mackey Park?
Mackey Park next to the pit there? Is that Mackey?
Mackey. We'll talk later.
Oh, all right.
With Holt Development.
No, and I appreciate you saying that. I have to also say that it's been probably one of the more emotional things I had to work on so far here,
sure,
because it impacts so many. And, you know, I didn't realize, as someone who's lived here, my kids, I guess, are not very athletic, that we had such a deficit. I had no clue. Yeah, mm-hmm. I had no. It was really all kind of eye-opening. And, but our tenants have been just super proactive, meeting with us, coming to meetings whenever. They're like, just schedule a meeting, we'll be there, just we'll figure it out. And so is the developer next door. It's been really great.
So the one thing I haven't quite figured out, so if Harmony does no improvements, mm-hmm, that road doesn't ever go through.
That's true. That's true.
Right. I mean, that's...
So why would...
So this is... This is driven...
It confuses me. Somebody explain.
So you have to do improvements for it to trigger to make the road go through. So I confirmed with the city at the meeting that we would not, when we build the parking lot project that we have the grant money.
Oh, yes.
Maybe
that's
I should come up here.
Yeah. I remember.
So when we build the parking lot and do those improvements and the lighting and that kind of stuff, it will not trigger the 13th having to punch through yet.
So
it would be triggered with any new fields and that kind of stuff. So if
to interrupt.
That's okay.
So this is...
That's why I
say... This is
thank you.
Driven by the Section 30 development. That's what's causing the traffic flow, but only triggered by development of the parking lot?
Not the parking lot.
Only for, like, when we add new fields or moving them around, that kind of thing. It's a site plan,
the idea that it's driven by the one triggered by the other.
Development is not on the hook to connect 13th at all.
Wouldn't Harmony just hold tight?
You mean Section 30 development.
And just do the parking lot.
Okay.
They are.
I would leave the master plan.
They would, but yeah.
This gets really confusing.
Demand.
Section 30 is going to develop. The city is requiring that road, 13th, to go through.
But she's saying it's not yet. Dave's saying it's not.
Not yet.
It will be.
Harmony's not triggering the improvement.
Right. So if they never trigger the improvement, the road will never go through?
Right.
Yes.
That's what it was always. I've been involved with Harmony since 2010, and that's always been the case. We always knew that there was that the Section 30 master plan, if you will, or the county's or the city's big roadway transportation plan showed that going through.
So isn't it better just to keep things as they are now, improve the parking lot, and then everything's fine? So then why is everything not fine?
Until the sports organization wants to come in and add the fields that are in the master plan. So we're good down.
But they're that
we have to
cut their nose to spite their
face. We never were going to add the fields. The city and the new development is driving it going through now.
So the city wants to add
the fields so they can get the road through?
The city doesn't want...
City wants the road ultimately. So it's understanding the land use processes. So today, there's no requirement for the 13th. It is in the plan, in the long-term plan, to make that road connection. In order to require a landowner to build a connecting road through the property,
right,
you have to come in with a large, typically a land use application, and then you would get obligated to do that. So what I did was I confirmed with the city, and I don't have this in writing, but this was part of our meeting, was that I wanted to know if just improving the parking lot would trigger that, because that's more maintenance work than new development or new improvements that require land use. And so they confirmed it would not be required at that stage. But when the association wants to add the fields and go farther into the master plan intention, that would trigger land use and would trigger 13th, which is why we're working on it now, because we don't want to put a bunch of money to improvements that we're just going to have to pay to move later.
Got
God.
Why would they just add more fields then?
Who's
why
told
would
you
they
they're
going
to add more fields to Harmony?
They it's part of the master plan that they have.
I understand
so you
part
don't
of
have
master
to
plan.
Do things.
I don't understand that.
And what I would
there's no application yeah. today. It's yeah. just simply the in the okay. master plan.
So it sounds like the ball's in Harmony's court. Well, they're choosing to kick. Because
no,
the road's
Harmony
not going to go through.
As far as I know, Harmony was not going to put more fields in.
Clearly, you
there
were right. We should. Because we're going
to
get kicked out of this room.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We're going to get kicked out of this room. Do we have any more public comments? Do you guys need to do that?
Thank you, Zelina.
You did that?
Milana, do you want a public comment?
Milana would be the only one that.
No, go ahead comment. And continue. Oh, but I just wanted to say that the Heritage Farm hearing was very good today. And it was very
that's supportive.
It was very, quote unquote, acknowledgement of the public input as well as the behind the scenes as well as consideration of value added mm-hmm. at the end.
Yeah.
And so that's another one that you may have to hire an economist for the value added component.
I'm trying to stay out of trouble. I'll figure something out. But why don't we come back with the Harmony topic?
Yeah, yeah.
Unfinished business.
Unfinished business. We move
we'll put some notes together too.
Yeah.
And you'd have some.
I'm very I need more clarification on this road and what triggers what and what doesn't trigger what. Real quickly, Laura, I wanted to check in with you. My calendar says March 16th, Pro's Plan kickoff. Is that still happening Monday?
Is that still good?
Okay. Yeah. All right. So hopefully March that's 16th. On your calendar.
Yeah, reminders going out.
At what time?
You can't have all of them at the.
So we didn't invite everybody, but do you want everybody there?
Well, we just have to publicly notify
anyway.
It.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I mean, you want all hands on deck.
We have to publicly notify.
You do if there's a quorum of
if
us
there's
going
quorum.
Somewhere.
Well,
yeah. We just
what's
not
the day's
in.
Notice for that
but
public
you
notice?
Time.
No, I think it's 7.
Who did you invite?
So we won't
for
make it by Monday.
I invited the executive committee.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So we're fine then. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Galina,
yes,
can you get a package of the handouts to Milana to drop off for me?
She has one in her hand already. Oh, it's hers. We'll get you one. Yeah, I do apologize. You know, we had a last-minute illness, and I've been kind of leery.
Mine was last-minute, too. I figured the way things are, and I'm glad I stayed home because I've not felt too good.
Oh.
So, Milana, just leave it on the front door so you don't get any germs from it, please.
She'll do.
She said she'll do it.
I love you for being a transport.
And are we adjourned?
All right, 6:09, and we are adjourned in the roundtable tonight since we're pushing it. So.
Thank you so much. Bye, Barb.
So just so you know, there's been at least 4 events canceled this week that I know of.
I know. Yeah. I saw one just today.
Right. Got canceled.
Nicole,
yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah,
very nice to meet you as well.
The other thing we should do.
It's an exciting group.
The second
it
public comment
right?
should be inside
yeah.
allowed.
And
I agree.
I haven't been oriented.
I've been here only for 4 months, so I'm
And I'm
still
very new.
This
is
November, and I'm still just like. Yeah, there's a lot of starting.
So it was funny when they were like,
yeah,
the foundation lunch.
A lot of us starting to worry about our events.
Nobody's panicking.
No, we're so glad you're here. You know, I'm
Portland.